Welcome to A Voice of a People. My name is Linda Sims, and the name of the station is called WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can also download apps on your phone, and the name of the app is called TuneIn. And once you download that, please search WWGH. Last but not least, you can also call in while we're live on the air from this time until top of the hour at 5 p.m. If you have any questions or would like to make any comments, please call 740-383-9944. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 27 years of experience working for you. The location, LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number, 740-262-0939. We have Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-382-8552. I bought 3 pair new glasses today for reading, and guess where they are? At home. At home. Yeah. And last but not least, Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, here in Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-382-8552. I'm sorry, 740-223-1515. Or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement, free produce, every third Saturday of every month. This month, December the 19th, it starts at 12 noon until 2 p.m. Remember, this is the month of Christmas, and there may be many people in need of free produce. I don't know exactly what it is. It could be fruit baskets or whatever, but this is Christmas time, and a lot of people are in need. And if you know of anyone in need, please share that information with them. It will be December the 19th at 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Okay, I'd like to start my show off with a thought for today. Like I said, I left my glasses at home, but you know, when you're on the phone, it does have its own light, so pray for me. Anger Patiently, it's titled. To never get angry is a tall order for almost any human being. So when we see anger as failure and we try not to be angry and fail, it is so easy to turn the gun on ourselves when our anger comes. We blame ourselves and put ourselves down for not being able to control ourselves. Don't turn the gun in yourself. Don't give yourself a guilt trip. We spend our lives learning anger, so we are not going to unlearn all the beliefs and habits which create our irritations, frustrations, and angers in a few days or even a few weeks. Though some who really do get it can change that fast, so be easy on yourself. Healing the inner scars, forgiving ourselves, transforming those habits are all aspects of this inner work, and they take a little time. Be patient, be gentle, and merciful with yourself. And if you do decide you want to forgive and heal yourself, you want to be a slave to others' words and actions, if you do decide you want to be free of your negative feelings, one of the secrets is not to fight or struggle with those old habits. Accept them when they come for whatever reason, and you'll be amazed how quickly the habit of those feelings is dissolved. All feelings begin with acceptance, including the healing of our feelings. What do you think about that, Jeff?
Yeah, I've had a lot of struggles with anger. It's been one of my big problems.
Yeah, some people do. They have a big problem with that anger.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with the male ego, you know.
That voice you hear is Jeff Porter, author of Expressions of the Last Days, and he came locked and loaded today. So there's just so much going on in our world today.
There is.
You know, so much. What did you come with? What you have on your heart today, Jeff?
Well, first of all, the world scene. I mean, I'll say one thing about President Trump. He don't give up easy.
True.
And he may have found a few flaws in the election procedures, but I don't think he's found as much. I thought he'd find a lot more than he has.
Oh, no. I mean, it's nothing new. It happens every election, believe it or not.
So I don't think he's found enough to save his presidency, but no. He has found a few things.
Right.
Though, you know, President Trump has a tendency to, it's like, where did he get the money to build the wall? All of a sudden, there he had the money to build it, you know. So he gets stuff done somehow. Mm-hmm. I don't think, then how else did he become a billionaire?
I mean, bankruptcy three times, that helps, yeah.
You know, he's got the intelligence to do it. And so we have that going on, and we have this great division in America right now. I don't think there's any way to avoid it right now because we've got the flower children on one side, we've got the Republicans on the other.
The flower children are back?
Yeah, because it really is the 60s generation that is disgruntled with the American government. And I remember when I was a kid watching this stuff on TV, and they you know, they're all against the establishment and everything, mostly because of the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm.
But they wanted to get in there and change the government because they didn't think they were doing enough to make it a better world.
Right.
And now that they're in there, you know, they have worked hard to get inside the government. All they've done is cause havoc, as far as I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so now we got this war going on inside of our Capitol, inside of Congress, between presidents and so on and so forth. And we're trying, Republicans are trying to keep the Republican status in the Senate and all that. And I don't know if people realize just how delicate this situation is. If one thing breaks one way or the other, we could be experiencing the collapse of our government, you know, the collapse of our economy.
Yeah.
So now there are some people that got on Gingrich, and he said that that guy, that the movie star, he always plays in serious stuff. So he's a Stars and Stripes guy, and he says that most of the Democrats, they don't want to improve anything with America. They want to destroy America.
You think so?
Yes, I think some of them do. Yeah, because of that stuff from back in the 60s. See, and so.
Why would they want to destroy a place they have to live, though?
I know. That is really ridiculous.
It doesn't make sense.
I think the reason why it might make sense is because they're looking forward to the new system, the Antichrist system. Only they don't know that's what it is.
Whoa.
So, and I've been talking about that for a long time, you know. So, they think that the Antichrist, whoever he is going to save the world from its problems, you know. And it will appear that he's doing so at first. But he cannot come to power. The Antichrist and his system cannot come to power until the United States is disappeared. See, we got a big, powerful, democratic system that is, at least it started off focused on Christ. Still is, for the most part.
Should be.
Yeah.
Even but if it's, you know.
They want to destroy it because they want to bring on the new system.
New World Order?
Yep.
Is that what you're talking about? Which
yep.
Started with George Bush, Dad. He's the first one who spoke it on the air.
Yeah.
Hard
to believe, isn't it?
Yeah, way back then.
Because he said he believed in Christ. But he didn't have enough discernment to see that what he was supporting was Antichrist stuff.
Right. He just knew that the people needed to come together.
Right.
The nations needed to come together, or allies, you know, and stand as one. I was listening to Thomas Horn. I don't know if you've heard of him
before.
Yeah,
I've heard of him.
Okay, he was on...
He's a prophecy teacher.
Yes, yes, and he was saying that he did the Wormwood prophecy.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's got
Wormwood
a new book
Star.
Out. Yeah, so he's got a new book out. Excuse
he's
me.
He's pretty
and,
good.
Yeah, he is pretty good, and he was talking about 80% now of atheists are asking what's going on. You know, what's going on? Where are we headed? So
yeah,
it's like.
Because they usually isolate themselves.
Yeah, yeah. So they're coming into life like they want to know what's going on. Okay, so if you're atheist and you don't believe in God, now something's going on that.
Yeah.
You're going to have to
include God.
Right.
Because you're going to have to include prophecy because it's coming true.
Right. There's nothing man can do right now.
No.
There's nothing we can do. I don't care who's president.
No.
There's nothing we can do. If God is not for us.
And I do believe that that's really the reason why they hated Trump so much. Because he was standing in the way of this bringing down of America. He was building America up. Can't have
well,
that. We got to tear it down.
And you also have to understand this. The Lord told Nebuchadnezzar, until you realize that I rule in the kingdom of men.
Yeah.
Okay. He
Absolutely.
Rules in the kingdom of men. He put them up and he brings them down.
That's
so
right.
If he has brought him down, it's for a reason. These things
because,
must happen.
Because prophecy has to go
it
on.
It has to go on. It has to go on. Isn't that something?
It's amazing.
Yes, it is amazing.
So, that's why this push for socialism. Because if you look at the way Hitler took over Germany, and I love the introduction to Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, how Hitler rose to power. He started off preaching that, you know, Germany was under oppression, which they were. From
right.
the Allies. Most people don't realize that because of these biographies about Bonhoeffer, some Christians here have been doing some digging to find out why did Germany go crazy and try to take over the world? Well, there's got to be a reason why, not just power. There's got to be some other reason. Well, the reason was is because the Allies had surrounded Germany after World War One
mm-hmm.
and put major, major sanctions on them. And they got to the point where they were in constant poverty, abject poverty all the time. You couldn't accomplish anything. You know, if you need to go to school for, you know, learning to be a mechanic or become a teacher of some sort,
mm-hmm.
Just forget it. There isn't enough money. And now Bonhoeffer was very, very lucky. He was born into a wealthy family. The family was wealthy compared to the rest of the country, but he had this fascination with becoming a pastor,
right?
And he went in, and he was a very, very good theologian. He'd be in cloud nine these days. But anyways, and his dad said, "Oh, come on!" I think his dad was He was a doctor or something,
mm-hmm.
you know, like that higher up kind of guy. And his dad was like, you know, why do you want to be a pastor? You're coming from a wealthy family and everything. Why don't you become a doctor, a lawyer, something like that, you know? And Dietrich wouldn't have nothing to do with it. He wanted to be a pastor,
mm-hmm.
and he did make a major impact.
Wow.
So Hitler began to rise up, and they started marching in the streets. They started... busting out windows. They started accusing the Jews. They just kept marching and kept becoming more and more powerful. People putting on that swastika armband until Germany was pretty much taken over by it. And by the time it came time for a vote, Hitler had no problem entering into his office and taking over. That's when the whole thing started.
Hmm.
But they were having riots then.
But you're talking about the most powerful nation in the world. You're talking about the United States,
yeah.
Jeff.
Well, just think about this. You know, Belshazzar,
yeah.
you know, after Nebuchadnezzar took all the gold cups and everything, took everything out of Jerusalem and put them in his temple.
Right.
Then he died. Belshazzar took over. Belshazzar was nothing but a drunkard. He was a murderous snake and a drunkard.
Wow.
And he's sitting it amongst all his golden cups and everything as if he had attained this.
Right.
You know, he didn't even conquer Jerusalem, but he took all the status from it.
Right, right.
And the material things. And he looks up and he sees this handwriting on the wall. I mean, actually a hand writing on the wall. And nobody could read it.
No.
So he went and got his wise men. They couldn't read it. And they said, well, King, as a last resort, we're going to have to call in David. Daniel.
Yeah.
Going to have to call him in, and he can interpret anything.
Yeah.
He came in there, and he said, well, King, I'll tell you what it says. It says, mine, to kill, a parson. Your kingdom has been weighed in the balance and found wanting.
Yes.
It will be conquered by the Medes. It will be conquered and handed over to the Medes and the Persians. Mm-hmm. Now, this was the most powerful nation in the world.
At the time.
And yet, it was attacked and it was defeated and divided.
Mm.
And that's when God says, okay, it's time for my children to come home.
So what you're saying is we shouldn't be so
proud.
Bold and proud to say that we're the strongest and most powerful nation in the world.
That's right.
Because we're not more powerful than one God, right? Our God.
Look what's happening to it.
Yes, I see.
It's in division. It's got a virus. It's got, nobody can seem to agree on anything. And it would be very easy to, you know, they say, well, who can conquer our all-powerful military? I'll tell you what can conquer it, the almighty dollar.
Oh, yeah.
Take away its funding, and guess what happens? There's nobody there, just cobwebs and echoes. Hello, nobody to drive the tanks, hello. You know. So, probably, I don't know how long it would take. I mean, you know, my novel I'm going to write called Tribulation Preacher.
Okay.
He wakes up in the morning, and he hears a tornado siren. Actually, it's a military siren, but we don't think about that much. They believe that China was right on the edge of pushing the button on us, you know. So this tribulation preacher guy, he's not real happy with his calling, and he's not real happy with going out there and trying to tell people what's going on and stuff because, you know, people are stubborn. They don't want to hear that bad news. So, but he goes out, and he goes traveling, and he finds out through a series of visions and communications with God that we're in the tribulation, bud. You know, it's time to tell people to repent. It's time to start preaching to them, tell them the truth.
Well, you know? I know you wrote your book, Expressions of the Last Days, which is doing the same thing,
mm-hmm.
talking about your own experiences in your lifetime and how you went down the wrong road and
mm-hmm.
and the occult and all that kind of stuff, you know, which a lot of people are there and in it as of today. And they think that that is the way,
mm-hmm.
but it's not the way. It is the way, but not the way.
It is a way.
Heaven. Yeah, it is a way, but not a way to
and
heaven.
Lots of ways.
Oh, yeah. Going the wrong way.
Yeah.
There's lots of ways going the wrong way.
Now, look at television. Look at the movies. How much they are saturated with the occult these days. I mean, they're full of the occult.
Yes, they are.
You know, and if there's any bad... any bad road that you could go down, it would be with the occult.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's taking the power of God and twisting it. Oh. That's what it is.
Wow.
The devil don't get his power from himself.
No. And, you know, in January, we will be doing a show, The Year in Review, which would be,
yeah.
Lord bless and say the same, we wake up in 2021,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
We're going to do a show on The Year in Review. I'm a... get as many facts as I can about the things that happened this year, because we do know, like you said, we're in a pandemic, and they said that is the entire United States is a hot spot right now.
Yeah.
As if none of us are really safe from this virus, you know. Some people still don't believe it. They still won't wear their mask or do the social distancing. Some people are still out partying and having a good time. And from what I understand, the vaccine, they sent some over to England already. Okay, so now they have some for us next week. But we won't be getting it like ordinary people like you and I, Jeff. They say that could be like July next year.
Yeah.
So we're looking at least another year in this pandemic.
So if it is a real pandemic, we got another year of death.
Yes, we have another year.
Well,
one thing about it, no one has been able to disprove, and maybe not all deaths are COVID-related. That's what some of my guests said yesterday, you know, don't be calling it COVID if it's really not COVID-related,
yeah.
You know. But who's going to distinguish that?
Only a doctor could do that.
Right, or
maybe.
A scientist. Right, right, a doctor, right. Because the symptoms are so similar to the flu, you know, or a bad case of bronchitis, or inner ear infection. You know, some of the symptoms are the same. But at the rate that people were dying, though, that is different.
But are they telling the truth about it?
I think they are, as far as the virus is concerned.
As far as the...
Remember in New York?
The status.
Yeah, remember in New York they were putting bodies in freezer trucks? Semis.
Yeah.
The people were just dying that fast from it.
Yeah.
And it's hard to believe, but... It's been allowed.
Mm-hmm.
It's been allowed. Whatever the rate
what
is.
Do you mean?
Only God could stop a pandemic.
Yeah.
But it's been allowed. That's what I mean. He has allowed this.
Yeah, he could stop it if he wanted to.
Yeah. But he has allowed this. Why do you think, Jeff?
Too much sin.
Too much sin.
Unbelief.
Unbelief.
Too much going down that wrong road we were talking about.
Right, right.
You know, you don't hear anything from people about saying, oh, I wish God would help us. Let's call upon God, see what he's got to say about this. He could stop this if he wanted to. You don't hear that.
No.
They say, we put our trust in science. I hear that all the time from them. Constantly. And science, guess what? It's not curing it.
It's anti-God, too.
Yeah.
Science is anti-God.
A lot of it is.
Yes. Yes.
And so, you know, we're headed down the road towards the new world order.
And I can understand the economic collapse because we're just teetering on this fence as it is now. Well, teeter-totter.
Yeah.
You know, up one day, down the next, you know. I used to love to get on that teeter-totter when I went in grade school, you know.
Yeah.
If you get somebody on the other end. But you ever had somebody on the teeter-totter and they just jump off and let you hit the ground?
Yeah. Ouch.
Oh, my.
Are they
like,
too
don't
big?
Do that.
They're too big and heavy, and they, like, they almost fly off when you go up.
Didn't that hurt?
Ouch.
Some kids are just mean, right?
They are.
Wow.
You know, they just love to do that old make fun of people and sing
song
and all that.
Or make you hurt.
Yeah.
Or just make you hurt, you know.
Watch this.
But we are teetering on this fence.
Yeah.
Economic collapse.
I remember not too long ago, like I said, I was at that Bible study. There were a bunch of guys sitting around, and I pulled out my book. And they said, oh, no, we're not in the last days. People are exaggerating. Mm. And I know that was God's timing, because not very long after that is when really nasty stuff started happening. And we've got... really bad weather on the East Coast.
And our weather, yes.
Look at the East Coast.
Yes.
They're always getting this freezing rain and snow and unbearable cold. And then we go, to the West Coast, and we got what? Fires.
Yes.
We got the wildfires going, and they can't get them out.
Right.
You know, it reminds me of my lawnmower.
Yeah. A lot more died on you, didn't it?
Yeah, burn it up, man. Poor thing.
Right, right. And as you're talking, I'm thinking about the four horsemen.
Yeah.
And you know,
you can hear their hooves right now.
Yeah, because they're riding.
Yeah.
They're riding, all of them. Death, all of them. They are riding right now. And people are waiting for this one day that the four horsemen are going to ride. They're already riding. And like Thomas Horn was saying, they believe that it started when Christ ascended from the grave.
We've been in the last days since Jesus left this earth, yeah.
Since Jesus left the earth.
That's what people always tell me, though. Well, we've been in the last days since Jesus left the earth. Whoa. So what makes you think we're in the very end right now? You know, well, 2,000 years ago.
Well, first of all, we must go back to Genesis, right?
Mm-hmm.
6 days, God created the heavens and the earth, man and woman, all those things in 6 days. In the seventh day, he rested.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about 1,000 years is as one day with the Lord, right?
Yep.
So how many thousands of years has it been from the beginning of time? And even even since Jesus has left, it's been over 2,000 years. We're in 2020 now.
Yeah.
A lot of people say it's been like 4,000 years before he even came on the scene.
But I don't think we've had a time when America was teetering on the brink of...
Like we are now?
Death right now, yeah, economic death. And once the United States is gone as a major power, anything could happen.
How could we be a help to Israel?
Couldn't. Just till God will take over from there.
Wow.
Now you know about Ezekiel 38.
Yes. Gog.
So
and Magog.
Somebody, you know, when they say, oh, look, America has fallen.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get together and attack Israel and take a spoil.
Right, right. Absolutely. Yeah.
And so God destroys them with fire and brimstone.
Mm.
So we could trust the Lord to protect Israel.
So how?
No problem.
How should we talk to young people like, say, 18 through 35 or 40, some of the unchurched that, some of the children that, they're unchurched, they're
yeah.
homeless, some of them, and
yeah.
not only that, they've been in one-parent homes and maybe no parent. Maybe
yeah.
grandmothers have raised them or, you know, someone else in the families. How do we talk to them and get them interested in Christ?
Well, mostly we should talk love to them.
Yes.
I don't think talking about Bible prophecy, if prophecy comes up in the subject, if they've got a lot of questions, I'll answer their questions.
Right, right.
I'm not going to water it down either.
Right.
But mostly you got to try to convince them that God loves them. It's hard to do, especially like you said, some of them are homeless.
Right.
It's hard to get across to them that God loves them when they say, well, why doesn't he help me then? You know, those are difficult questions, you know.
Those are difficult questions.
So I say that there's no need for those kids to be homeless in America.
Right.
But how do you get that across to them, you know?
Yeah,
it's up to us a lot of times.
I think so, too. And, okay, so we were talking about the church also. And so that's what we're looking at also, the church. And the doors of a lot of churches are still closed.
Yeah.
People are not going to church. You got well, our church up there in Bucyrus, it opened up, and we started in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Right? And the pastor would be outside bringing a message and everything, and then they opened up the church doors.
Oh, you mean since the virus?
Yeah, VITM, yes. But there are a lot of churches that have not opened their doors.
No, they closed them and left them closed.
And left them closed. So
much easier. They
don't
have the money.
What's going to happen with the church?
I think at the last, well, when it comes to the actual tribulation, and I've told this to JC, to Steve, and other elders in there, that there'll come a time when the persecution gets so severe against Christians that we'll have to break up the church and go and meet in like different places.
Undercover.
Small groups. Undercover, yes,
mm-hmm.
like they do in Russia.
Yeah, undercover.
Yeah, that's what we'll have to do.
Underground.
Yep, we're still going to have casualties, though, you know, because they're going to come after us with a vengeance.
And blame us
for
what's going on in the world.
Oh, of course. You know, it's what they did to the Jews, you know, blame them for everything.
Right, right.
But in actuality, all of this is due to too much sin, and God is bringing justice rather than mercy.
Right.
During those days, there will be grace and there will be mercy during those times, but there'll also be a major judgment on the world, and it will continue until most of the world's in shambles, you know. You know, I can't imagine, I can't see way into the future. God hasn't given me any details about what the tribulation will be like way into it, you know, like 5 years into it or something like that. I don't know what that'll be like. But like I said, they were the best of times, they were the worst of times. And the reason I say that is because I also believe that there'll be a lot of miracles, tremendous miracles. Right now, we don't see the kind of miracles I'd like to see, like, you know, some of these homes where people were in really bad accidents and stuff, and their brain is too damaged for any kind of cognitive activity or talking to them or anything. I believe that, you know, some of these people that are born severely damaged brains and damaged bodies, and they're all contorted and everything, I believe there's going to come a day during the tribulation where we could lay the hands on people, they'd be healed.
Right.
You don't see any of that right now.
It should be able to do it now if you believe you know that God will work through you and do that.
That you know, it's like you say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea.
Right.
Yes, we should be able to do that.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Faith of a grain of a mustard seed. However, that's not happening.
No, right, it's not happening.
And I believe that it will happen, though, during those times, because the darkness is very dark and the brightness is very bright.
That's true. That's true. Well, the authentic light is Christ. The artificial light is man-made.
Yeah. And the Antichrist comes as an artificial light.
And people are going to follow him. It says the world, except for those who do not have the mark that God places on their foreheads.
If they're not born again, if your name is not written in the book of life.
Yes, the Lamb's book of life.
You'll be deceived by him, even atheists.
Right. And you know, I know maybe some people, they may get tired of us talking about the last days, the final days. You know, the Antichrist is coming.
Well, I'm only here once a month.
I know you're only here once a month, but we've been doing it for 6 years, Jeff.
Of course,
you know?
Do call me when somebody don't show up.
Yeah, and we've been doing it for 6 years.
Yeah, you can talk about Bible prophecy till you're blue in the face, and you still haven't covered all of it.
No, we haven't covered it all, nor has it changed.
No.
It has gotten worse, though.
Yeah.
The conditions of the world have gotten worse in the 6 years that we've even been broadcasting.
Oh, much worse.
The last days, you know.
You know, remember when I first started seeing this happening, I was at the Nazarene Church, and I was in a singles class there. And the teacher, she was all right, you know, and everything. She just was a status quo person, you know. But I could sense that something was wrong. And I could sense this leaning towards accepting homosexuality as normal and all that. And I started getting into really bad arguments with her.
Okay.
And I didn't really even realize I was doing that until one day this one guy said, okay, Jeff's here. It's time for crossfire. And I said, what do you mean? He said, oh, man, you and Juanita really know how to whop one up. I said, well, maybe I should bring my boxing gloves or something, you know. But I left there kind of, you know, it wasn't good because she had this guy get up and try to rebuke me with the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that offensive.
Yeah.
So I didn't go back.
Oh, really?
No.
Okay.
And that was the time, like I said, when I quit church for a long, long time, because I felt uncomfortable in church. I felt very strained. I remember going to a church a while back, and that's when I went on this big church hop thing. I was hopping, church hopping. Oh, the terrible thing that you shouldn't church hop. Oh, my, oh, my. Well, I learned a lot.
Right.
A great deal. And there was this one pastor, this church, he's on right on Route 4 as you go over the tracks there, going towards Marysville. And I liked that church, but first of all, they had, the music is, Christian music has become very weird parts of it. And So they had a young people's church time, and they had a old people's church time, I guess you'd say, a traditional church time.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the overhead projector going. I forget what he was talking about. Something about some past preachers and stuff. And he, all of a sudden, he stopped and he looked at everybody, acted like he didn't, he was trying to get up the nerve to say something. And then he says, and then this preacher said, blah, 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 the GD, he said the word.
Mm.
And I said, well, that's the end of this church. And he actually said it, and nobody said a word to him about it or protested it or anything.
Wow.
And I said, what is happening to the church? So I started looking into apologetics researchers to see what they had to say about the status of the church. And Dave Hunt had and I hadn't been reading his newsletter. I get his newsletter all the time. I wasn't reading it.
Right.
And he was talking about the status of the church as far as, you know, hot or cold, basically is what we're saying, you know. I would that you were hot or cold, like the church of Laodicea. Well, lately we are increased with goods and have need of nothing, but knowest thou not that thou art wretched and poor and blind and miserable and naked? That's what Jesus was saying to Laodicea. And, of course, we know what Jesus was talking about, the status of the church back then, right after he left, maybe 70 or 80 years after he left, it started declining already.
Right. It's almost like immediate. As soon as he left,
bam, you know, it started taking a dive.
And he raised up Paul for the Gentiles, you know, to carry the word, to carry the message that, you know, this is going to be over soon. And even the apostles thought it was going to be over in their day.
Yeah.
That he was coming back in their day. So we're talking about over 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
We're in the year 2020 now.
Yeah.
And we've come. Yeah, it has.
Almost 2021.
Yeah. Sure enough. It's winking at us. It's right there.
Yeah.
So the reason why Jeff and I have always talked about the last days, it was to hopefully help people get prepared.
Yeah.
For the last days. Because if you wait until Jesus cracks the sky and comes back, it's going to be too late.
Yeah.
You'll be like the 10 virgins. 5 was wise and 5 were foolish.
Yes.
The 5 that were wise, they took care of themselves. They made sure their oil lamps were filled with oil so that when the bridegroom came, they would be ready to meet him, right?
That's right.
But the foolish did not keep their oil for their lamps.
Right.
So that means they didn't have no fire. They didn't have no fire within them because the Holy Spirit is fire within you. And we need, when God calls our name, we should be ready to rise, because if you don't have any oils in your lamp, which is the Holy Spirit, you're not going when the bridegroom comes. And I don't want to be lost. I don't know about those of you who are listening.
Really?
Or really
Amen.
Believe the word that we're that's coming out of Jeff's mouth or my mouth or even the word of God, because it's all the word of God. So you don't have to believe it. I tell you, like I tell my kids, you don't have to believe it. You can keep going the way you're going. But if you look at the world today and the situation and circumstances that are going on, the situation we are in, can't get out of, don't even know how, except God give men wisdom of how to get us out of this. And it has to come from him.
Now, people are more perplexed.
I'm sure they're more perplexed.
These days than they were.
Yes.
Because,
stirring them up,
like when I was talking about it, that that Bible study, and they didn't want to hear it about the last days. They want to hear, that's just too negative. That's just too negative. I said, not everything that Jesus said was positive.
It sure was, and it was true, though.
He said, you know, the four horses of the apocalypse said there was war, and hell followed after.
Right.
So people died in that war, went to hell.
Right.
So that's not good. That's not positive.
That's not positive.
And so what we're trying to avoid.
Yes.
So we want people to spend eternity in the right place.
In the right place. In the right place.
So it wasn't long after that, and they really got on my case for a while in that Bible study, like I was the bad guy or something, you know.
Oh, yeah, of course you're the bad guy. You're talking about doomsday, Jeff.
They don't like the doomsday stuff.
The all this we're doing now, it's going to be over one day.
Well, you know, all these prosperity teachers always are running around telling people, oh, don't worry about the tribulation and all that. And, you know, almost you could hear Satan talking right out of his mouth saying, you know, oh, don't worry about all that. You know, the judgment of God and all that. Just continue like you are. Everything will be fine.
Things have always been the same since the beginning of creation.
That's right.
And no, the sky hasn't fallen in, nor the earth has opened up. But believe it or not, the earth has opened up and God has swallowed up people before. When Moses was leading the children of Israel across the Red Sea, and Kore, the one that was always standing up against Moses, he opened up the ground, and those who were with Kore went in the ground, and the Lord closed the ground back up. So we can't take anything for granted.
No.
We are in the last
days. I think people
days.
Are beginning to shake a little bit.
I think so, too.
And now's a good time to reap that harvest.
Yes, it is a good time. So you want to give the salvation prayer? We have 2 minutes.
Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord, help us.
We just ask that you would forgive us for our sins.
Forgive us.
Come into our hearts.
Come into our hearts.
Change our hearts.
Change our hearts.
From darkness to light, Lord God.
From darkness to light.
As Paul said, any man in Christ is a new creature.
It's a new creation.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Make us new.
And that can happen to you out there. All you got to do is pray with me and ask Jesus to come in. And walk with him now.
Yes, Lord.
Walk hand in hand with him for the rest of your life.
Yes, Jesus.
And experience what he wants you to experience.
Amen.
And be what he wants you to be.
Amen.
Obedience is better than sacrifice.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you heard that prayer and you believe, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, even to the glory of God the Father, like Jeff said, you are saved. And ask him to show you who he is and what he is about. Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People. We are out of time, but not out of word.
No.
So next time, tune in. Linda Sims, A Voice of a People, here on WWGH.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, the place for holiday fun, with legendary comedian Gallagher reading "'Twas the Night Before Christmas."
'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads, and Mama in her kerchief, and I in my cap. We had just settled our brains.